Today I want to do something very special. It's been on my heart. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And that He said today that we are to emphasize celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. Celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. And our first song that Jeff led us in talked about joy at the end there. And then he led us in Dance, Children, Dance. And then he led us in Jehovah Jireh. And then he led us in Set on Fire and Restoring the Joy of Our Salvation. And I'm basically going to be reading Scripture today. It says in 1 Timothy 4, Paul wrote to Timothy, "Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading the Word of God." And so I hope you have your Bible or your iPad, one or the other, and you'll be prepared in a few minutes to look at some passages with me that I want to read today in the spirit of celebration. Celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. We hear enough today about how broken the world is and how hard it is to follow Jesus. Oh, it's tough in this day and age to follow Jesus. We need to celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ every day and live victoriously in light of this. For instance, in 1 Timothy 4, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food, which God created to be received with all thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So, he said in the last days there would be, you know, difficulties and darkness and so forth. And then 2 Timothy 3, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." That sounds pretty foreboding. Now, if we focus on these verses overmuch, we might begin to feel foreboding ourselves. And the antidote to that, brothers and sisters, is to celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. This is so basic. Celebrate every day, every moment, whatever you're doing, in the back of your mind, in the forefront of your head, be celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's take our Bibles. I'm going to begin to read some scriptures. Turn to Luke chapter 2. These are scriptures that the Lord placed on my mind and heart. And I would like to read from this passage, first of all, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. This is the passage where the angels appear to the shepherds. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Lynn and I have been to Shepherd's Field on our 50th anniversary 2 years ago. We were at the very place that they think were the shepherd's field, where the shepherds saw the angels appear to them at night. It was probably one of the nicest spots we enjoyed in the entire Holy Land. And he says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He's telling them to learn to celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, in this regard, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the angels, the multitude of the angels of the heavenly hosts, began to say, choir, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, one of the reasons why the church gets into a negative framework of reference is we look outward at the confusion when we should look upward to the conclusion.
Amen.
And the conclusion is that Jesus came and brings us joy. He brought joy, and we're to celebrate that reality. And then turn with me to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16, we find that Jesus is in Nazareth. Linda and I stayed 5 days in Nazareth, up on the mountain overlooking that village, and where he had been brought up. And in the synagogue, he read from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And in the he looked in the place where from the prophet Isaiah, and when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And in that moment, Jesus said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What an awesome moment that must have been. Then we go to Luke chapter 15. And we have the parables, especially the first one of the lost sheep. And the 100 sheep, and one was lost, and because 99 were in solidarity, that means they were in loving, unified community and walking together in the peace and joy of the Lord. One wandered, and the shepherd went out to find the one sheep. And when he brought the sheep back, the shepherd said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you likewise that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." The Lord, I don't think he's saying he doesn't appreciate those who are walking righteously, but he certainly gets joyful when someone who wandered comes back to the Lord. That's something to celebrate. The second parable in Luke 15 was where there was the parable of the lost coin. A woman had 10 silver coins, and if she loses one coin, now what woman, keeper of a house, cannot identify with this? If she loses one coin, she does not light a lamp, but she sweeps the house, searches carefully until she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the place, or found the peace which I lost." And said, "Likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." One coin found speaks of the value of their celebration when that coin was found. And then the third parable we're so familiar with, the prodigal son. And a certain man had 2 sons, and one went off as a prodigal. But the father kept looking, and one day he's watching the horizon. He looks down to the horizon. He sees that wayward son coming toward him. The father had compassion. The scriptures say he ran and fell on his son's neck and kissed him. He was celebrating the return of his child. You know, this is something to celebrate. In the midst of all the confusion and darkness in the world, the Christian church, Christianity worldwide needs to recover its power of celebrating in the presence of God.
Amen.
I was particularly knowing I was going to share today, Jeff. Every song you picked, all right through the whole morning, was about this theme. And I said, Lord, thank you, because I knew immediately that this is a word in season. We get so down and burdened in our daily problems and bondages and appetites and things. And the only solution is to turn to the Lord and celebrate that He's our Savior, our King, the Almighty One. Now, I want you to follow some passages that I have here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 is a marvelous chapter. It says in verse number 1, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of the Christ Jesus, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me for you, how it is that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, which I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men," speaking of the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ came into the world, "has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." He's saying that which was not known before has been revealed to us, the New Testament Christians, and we have something to celebrate about.
Amen.
Now, I want you to realize as we build our case today, we're giving one strategy, one tactic, one skill level, one spiritual device by which you can overcome every negativity in your life and overcome every depression in every situation. That's to become enraptured in the person of Jesus Christ and the fullness of God's salvation through Him. That will help you to face every situation. Now, there are ramifications and other things to be said, but that's the spark plug. That is the high-octane gas in the tank. That is the thing that makes it possible for you and I to have victory. He goes on to say in verse number 8, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace is given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make known that all will see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the ages hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places." He's talking about Democrats and Republicans there. He's talking to the Congress. He's talking about all these things that we're all mad about, the politicians, the principalities and powers. He says that the church might make known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which are accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. See, we have something to celebrate. Now go on down to verse number 14. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in him, or in us rather, in him, to the glory in the church through all generations, forever and ever. We have something to celebrate. I know we may not comprehend everything yet, but if I were you, I hope that you will set a lifetime process and pursuit to understand the awesomeness of the good news in Jesus Christ. May it never grow old. May it never be boring. May you never take it kind of commonplace. May you and I exalt it to the height of celebration that it deserves. Amen. That this world has been changed. We are changed. Our marriages are changed. Our families are changed. Our neighborhood is changed. Our city can be changed. Our states can be changed. And our country can be changed. And the countries of the world can be changed. And the whole world is coming to the place. And we heard it today in the scriptures. There shall come a day when every knee shall bow at the feet of Jesus. I don't want to wait till that day. I'm bowing today. I invite you to bow today. Every day I invite you and I to bow and celebrate at the footstool of Jesus Christ, the enthroned one. Now turn to 1 Peter. Now we're studying 1 Peter in our home group. If you don't have a home group, I invite you to get into a home group. And you're certainly welcome at our home group. We've got wonderful people. And you know, if you can imagine this lovely family up here today, they're in our home group, and they come, all four children, and we have a wonderful time with the Rudolph family in our home group, and we're blessed by them and their children, and what a joy. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10, we looked at and studied this week. It's our third week into the 1 Peter series, and it says, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you," that is to the people that Peter's writing to, "searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." What a marvelous verse. All the prophets of the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way to Malachi, all the prophets, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and the minor prophets, of which there are 12. And all of these prophets were searching. We have this promise given to Abraham that the Messiah is coming. And they were searching, looking for the Messiah. And then the Messiah came in the person of Jesus Christ. And he says here that they inquired, they searched carefully. They prophesied of the grace that we now have. They were searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. We have something to celebrate. Amen. He's saying, readers of his epistles, Peter is saying to his readers, everything they searched for, everything that they wanted to understand, it's been revealed to us. Amen. It's in us that we understand. Now, something similar is over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, if you'll turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll just look at the last verse. Well, actually, the last two verses, verse 39, "And all these," referring to all the people that have walked by faith, and listed in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, "all these have obtained a good testimony through faith, but they did not receive the promise." Wow. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know, one time that hit me. Now, thought about that. Here's all these Old Testament saints up until the time of Christ who walked in faith looking for the Messiah, but the promise did not come in their lifetime. And now the writer of Hebrews says, everything they long for is fulfilled in us.
Amen.
We who are believers complete what they have. Now we have what they look forward to. Every Jewish prophet was looking for the Messiah to come. He's saying that in Jesus Christ, our Messiah, everything they look for is fulfilled in us. Now that's something to celebrate. Amen? You know, that's something to really realize that day by day, we have something in Christ that even the Old Testament people, they had the law, the works of the law. We have the grace of God, the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of God's glory and express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now we have something to celebrate. The writer of Hebrews is saying Jesus Christ came perfectly manifesting the glory and the power of God. He purged our sins. And when that awesome work was done on the cross of Calvary, where He was killed and crucified, buried in the grave, but 3 days later arose from the grave in resurrection power and ascended to heaven to be seated on the heavenly throne of power, we have something to celebrate. If we understand that we walk with and live before an ascended Jesus Christ in heaven, and the other passage today, we are co-ruling with Him. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. Now turn to Philippians chapter 1. You see, when you begin to string these together, you begin to realize that we have something to celebrate. You're going through the day. The boss calls you into his office or her office and gives you a little tongue lashing. Or you just simply graciously smile. Say, thank you. I'll do better. Go ahead and go to the restroom. Hide yourself in a stall. And there begin to celebrate. Thank you, Lord. Lord, You are greater than these things. Begin to celebrate. Begin to celebrate. No matter what you face, begin to celebrate. You don't have to yell loud. You don't have to make a public nuisance of yourself. But you can celebrate that you're on the victory side, and maybe people around you don't understand that. But you know that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. I hope the revelation of all this is getting through to you, because it got through to me. And I believe that that's the way we can have victory. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says in verse number 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What He's begun, He will complete. See? When you're in a difficult moment, you start celebrating. He's on the throne. What He's begun in my life, what He's begun in the life of my spouse and I, what He's begun in our family, He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, once you get this hope understood in your heart, it lifts you out of all the weights and bondages and sin that you have been encumbered with through your life. But when you come to the cross, which simply is a code word, when you come to Jesus and you open up your heart to Him, invite Him into your heart, invite Him in to be your Redeemer, Invite Him in to indwell you and empower you. In that moment, you begin a walk that takes you from victory to victory to victory to victory to victory. As the Bible says, it takes you from grace to grace to grace to grace. It takes you from faith to faith to faith to faith. It takes you from some, to much more, much more, much more, much more. It just always keeps getting better. Now, will you have a couple little shadows on the way? Will you have some dips? Well, the Bible does say sometimes you cry and have sorrow in the night, but in the morning,
amen,
you have joy.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the Lord takes us through situations, but we learn in them. We learn to trust God. We learn where we made mistakes and perhaps some accountability before the Lord, how we need to grow in grace and truth and so forth, and greater skills in life. But we know we're always growing from one place, and we are confident He will take us there. Now, it says, "For I pray that your love," verse 9, "may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Wow. You see, I think I'd rather read these things than some of the daily headlines in the papers. And, you know, my wife says I listen too much to the pundits and too much to the news on TV, and I probably do. But you know what? I'm not overwhelmed by that, because I know whom I have believed. The Bible says I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now go to Colossians. I told you I was going to read Scripture today. Colossians chapter 1. These are not my words. These are the words of the Bible. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. "For this reason we also," Colossians 1 verse 9, "for this reason we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Oh my goodness, it's so wonderful in Jesus Christ to be able to relieved of the burden of sin and bondages and personal inadequacies, and to be empowered by Him to walk in the fullness of who He is and in the spirit of celebration. We're almost done. Turn to Hebrews chapter. You know what? I got one more passage. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter is after 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. Wow, this is an awesome passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Peter writes to his readers, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge self-control, add to self-control perseverance, add to perseverance godliness, add to godliness brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness agape love," unconditional total love. And he says, "For if these things are yours and abound, it will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom." We have reason to celebrate.
Yes.
If anybody wants these verses, you can get, I'm sure someone at the office will make you a copy of this if you want to have the verses. Can someone volunteer? Anybody know how to use that machine? Linda does. So if you want to have these verses, and the reason I say that is I know that you need to read these things constantly. You need to meditate upon them, read them and think it through. And what is this saying? Read it out loud. You know, read it with your family. Meditate upon it. Even memorize it, but I wouldn't put that obligation on you. But you know, there are great passages to memorize. You know, one time I was with them, I was in a situation talking about raising children and so forth. And I was called upon to give some clues, secrets. And one of my sons, Paul, spoke up. He was in the situation. He said, "You know, Dad, Mom, I think it was a family gathering where we were all just kind of reminiscing about our life." And he said, "You know, there's something you did with us four boys." That'd be Pastor Dan and Tim over here, the oldest and the youngest of four. And that is, every January, February, and March, you would enroll us, probably for almost 20 years, would enroll them, 15 years maybe, many years. My wife's over there saying, a little thoroughism exaggeration there. But it was many years. And every year, for 3 months, the boys would memorize Scripture. If you were 9 years old, you memorized 9 verses a week. If you were 10 years old, you memorized 10. If you were 15, you memorized 15 verses a week, and so on. And if you were 17, you memorized 17 verses for 3 months. And then they every week had to say it to a hearer in the church. Mom and I were not qualified because they figured parents would be prejudiced and would cheat a little bit to make sure their kids got the prizes in this program. So there had to be a neutral person who heard them and qualified them to be certified as having said the verses correctly. Well, you know, out of that, our boys memorized a whole lot of Scripture. And then when they got to be about college age, late teenage years, college age, they challenged each other to memorize whole chapters of the Bible, like Romans 8, Ephesians 3, and they memorized whole chapters of the Bible. And every once in a while, a boy would come in, you know, soccer practice, and he'd turn to his brother and say, "Ephesians 3, now." And he'd have to quote the whole chapter. Maybe a week later, another would walk in and say, "Romans 8, now." And they memorized whole chapters of the Bible. And people say, "What did you do to get four boys who love the Lord?" We didn't do hardly anything. I always say it was by God's grace.
Amen.
We were able to parent, and His mercy covered the mistakes. But you know, I believe that one technique of saturating themselves in the Word, memorizing the Word, being attentive to the Word, hiding God's Word in their heart, as David said, "that I might not sin against God." In other words, it was God's dealing. You see, brothers and sisters, this is the revelation of God.
Right.
You say, "Well, I just got to get revelation from God." But the Bible says that no revelation is by private interpretation. You don't get revelation over here, you know. You might get revelation of all kinds of things that have no biblical basis in it at all. Well, God spoke to me. Well, I like it when God speaks to us, but I want to know that it's rooted in the Bible, rooted in the Word. And then I can celebrate it, because right there it is. I can read it. Holy men of God wrote the Holy Scriptures as they were led by the Holy Spirit. And all doctrine is inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. And you know, and an audience is broad. Likely there's many of us who are, you know, we're still in the infant stage or the child stage. We haven't yet got to the young man stage or to the adult stage or to the father-mother stage, let alone to the leadership stage. I see five stages there. But you know what? You start to love the Word of God in the infant stage. It says in 1 Peter, he said, desire the sincere, as infants, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And you start with the Word, read the Word, stay with the Word. You know, maybe you're not a memorizer. I'll tell you what, if you read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. You know, if you read a passage 100 times, by the end of it, you'll probably have most of the words in that passage memorized, and you didn't even try to memorize it. It's in your heart. And it directs your path. Thy Word is a light to my feet, a lamp to my path. But David said, I love to come into the house of the Lord. He said, I'd rather dwell in the house of the Lord than to be in the tents of wickedness for a season. In the house of the Lord, I can celebrate Him. David, King David said, I can hardly wait till I get to the tabernacle. I can hardly wait till I get to the temple. I can hardly wait till I get to the congregation. Because there, we celebrate the Lord. See, there's power when the whole body gets a vertical touch in the glory of God. And like we did today, it happened today. You know, when we feel the energy of God come into our soul, we feel His love, His grace, we feel His mercy, we feel His forgiveness, we feel His empowerment. And when we're in the house of God, that's why I want to be in the house of God. When I traveled to Texas for 3 years with my wife, We discovered a lot of people who travel didn't even go to church on Sunday. And they said, you know, you and Linda are a little bit different than a lot of these other people who travel. I said, what? Well, you're always in church. When you're in town, you're always... I was traveling ministry now throughout the West. And when you're in town, you're always in church. On Wednesday night, you're always in church for the midweek service or a home group. And we gave ourselves, because we like to be with believers. Amen. Where they're talking about the Lord, where they're praying together, where they're reading the Scriptures, where they're exhorting and encouraging, you grow by that. You know, it's like a little coal of that's on fire, a little briquette at the fireplace, and you know, you keep putting the wood and so forth. When they go up to Tim and Deborah's house in the backyard, they have these bonfires we have. And about every 20 minutes, Tim's up there putting more wood on it and making the fire burn and so forth. And you know what? But if you take that little briquette and move it over here, it'll be warm for a few minutes. But eventually it'll become cold and die out. Because we need to be in the congregation where we're stirred, where the Word is preached and taught, where our children are learning about the Word of God. A few years ago, I discovered this back when I was pastoring, maybe 20 years ago, that in our children's church, they had kind of changed and were doing what I call rabbit-hobbit mid-videos with the children. That means they were having the kids just listen to these carrot tales. What do you call them? Vegetable tales? Veggie tales. And so the kids were leaving and going down and watching Veggie Tales. And I got wind of it. So I pulled all of our children's church workers together and I said, no more videos. No more. I want you to lead them in worship. I want you to preach and teach. I want you to have the kids laying hands on each other and pray for them. I want you to treat them like young adults. I want you to stir them. I don't want them to be entertained. I want them participating in the Word. I want them coming prepared Susan, would you read these two or three verses? And Nathaniel, would you read these two or three verses? And they're participating. I don't know what we're doing today in the children's church, but if we're not doing these things, a little bit of instruction just came through. The truth is, our kids don't need entertainment. They just don't need to know the facts of a story. They need to know why they walk in faith. They need to know why they live righteously. They need to know why they should keep their eyes on the Lord. And when that all begins to happen, the last 10 minutes have been PS free. I wasn't part of the message, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. But you need to know these scriptures so you can celebrate. Go ahead and get a hold of the scriptures. Can someone go back and run off? How many would like to have a copy? Oh, there's several. So would someone go out and read and print about 25 copies, Linda? Or someone, Deborah? That's good. There's two sides to it. I'll do this one here. Amen. And we'll put them out there and you can pick it up. And the reason I'm doing that is because it is not enough for you to hear me read these passages. Even though Paul told Timothy, give attention to reading. And I did that today. It's more important that you be reading the scriptures. Take it into your heart. Internalize it. Make a commitment to renounce every way that's in contrary and to move into a full embracement of the life that walks in victory in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.